the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
I'm Charlie McCarron.
And I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
And today we're going to talk about Just One.
One.
So, Just One is another word association game. And unlike Codenames, Just One is fully cooperative. Everybody is on the same team, sharing the same goal, which is to guess as many words as possible, much like code names, and I guess like word association games in general. But the way that Just One works is every round, one person will be the guesser. And the guesser's job is to guess the word in just one guess.
Ooh.
And in order to do this, they will be given clues. So all of the other people have little easels, like white. They're little miniature whiteboard things,
like nameplates, kind of.
Yeah,
yeah.
So each other player is going to secretly write down a word that is a clue. Obviously, you can't use the word that the guesser is trying to guess. You have to use a different word to make them guess the word. So, for example. Suppose they're trying to guess the word sword.
Ooh.
You might use as a clue hilt or rapier.
Or knight.
Or knight.
Yes. And so everyone's going to give one of these clues, or in a three-player game, each person will give two clues, as was the case with us. But then the twist is that if two people give the same word as a clue, they cancel each other out.
Right.
So, like, if both of us put down knight as a clue for sword, or more realistically, if we both put down, like, rapier or something mm-hmm. as a clue for sword, and then we reveal it, those clues are destroyed and are not given to the guesser, which means the guesser has less information to go off. And what this does in practice is when you're coming up with clues, you have to be somewhat obscure, because you have to pick something you don't think anyone else will pick. Now, in our game, I think I might have gone at times a bit too far in that direction.
well, we balanced each other out, I think, because sometimes I was giving the obvious clues.
Definitely actually guided me. If I was giving a clue with Ananda, I would go for the simpler thing first.
Your clue for unicorn was fantasy and horse.
Yeah.
But yes, so it is a game about sort of trying to double guess or second guess what other people are going mm-hmm. to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you can give the best clues possible. And it is actually surprising how many of these people are able to get in just one guess.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's not like they're provided with a list of options. It's not like I know, okay, so it might be sword, or it might be lion, or it might be star, and which one of these do I think it is? No, they don't. The only information they have is the clue,
right?
And based on that alone, they have to get it in one guess. And people do this very successfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we scored ours, we got 8 correct out of 13, which is apparently the high end of the average.
Yeah,
but like I couldn't imagine getting all 13 in one go. That sounds fantastic.
I mean,
I've all right. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. Humble brag.
I think, that's the really fun part is when you get like multiple people canceling each other.
Yeah.
I think. But at the same time, it is really satisfying when you look at this array of words as the guesser. And at one point, I think I said, did you guys just write down 4 random words?
As
soon as it clicked,
elderly, discipline, sugar, and what was the other one?
Walking. Give yourself pause the podcast now if you want to try. So the answer was cane, and it was so satisfying because a lot of times what happens is you narrow it down to something, and then as soon as you figure out that word, everything starts clicking into place. Right. And like, oh, sugar cane. Oh, yeah. Now I see it.
As once you find it and everything clicks, like, oh, man.
Yeah. It's really cool when a game can make you see everything in a new light. Like, oh, what a moment of discovery I thought was like impossible.
Yeah. And well, this also has a similar, like we talked about with code names, where if you are wrong, there is an extra penalty. You don't instantly lose the game because you're not competing two different teams.
Yeah.
But there's an extra point penalty for guessing wrong. But you can also choose to not guess and have a smaller penalty.
Right. Which is sort of, I guess, would that be push your luck?
You know, it's one instance, but it is kind of rolling the dice a bit, right? Like, if you are not certain about your answer, then it is a little bit of a gamble.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I like that rule in this game, actually, when we played it. Because I think I understand why they have it, because it's like, maybe you really are not doing well and you don't want to feel bad about not making any good guess.
Right.
And you just feel like, oh, I failed us. But I sort of wanted you to just guess rather than, because you even said the word belief.
Right. Yeah.
Because our clues were decent, but we threw you off just enough that you're like, nah, I think I'll pass. And then...
I see. So you're saying that you should just encourage them just to guess no matter
guess
what.
Guess something and you'll get it wrong, but that, you know.
Because right now the game encourages you to evaluate how certain you are and make a decision based on whether or not you're confident in your answer.
Yeah, and then it doesn't feel doubly bad that you lost two cards versus one, but I think I'd rather just have the fun of just make a guess.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I actually, because that was, I think, our second card that was played or something like that.
Yeah, and that's right.
It was, because I mean, I played just once before this. And so I couldn't quite remember how the flow worked. And it was kind of like, oh, well, I kind of did want him to like keep trying to get, because he was almost there.
Yeah.
But I wish that I was something I could do to like push him in the right direction, which obviously is against the spirit of the game. But yeah.
Well, and it's not like, I don't want to get down on just one, because that's...
No, not at all.
I love that game. And it just was a moment, I think, designer-wise, it's like, you want to encourage people to do the fun thing in your game. And not guessing is not really the fun thing.
That's true. I guess, in general, you want to be thinking a lot about what you want to incentivize for the players. One thing that I really like about just one, in the same vein, is... the way that the cancellation rule encourages you to think of more obscure clues.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that rule were not in place, I mean, having two people give the same clue is in some sense already a bad thing, because it means you have less information.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means that you can do the very obvious clues, and this encourages you to think outside the box and be more creative in what you do.
And I know, the again, we talked about this in code names, but the word list is very important to the feel. And it was interesting this time I saw pimento and I was like, I'm not really sure what that is, but I think it's something about an olive. And Trevor was like, yes, it's the thing you put in the olive. But it's like, someone, when, if that word came up, like, everyone at the table is thinking, someone needs to put olive or we're not going to get this. Who's going to do it?
Well, I made the reference like, oh, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine has a character named Pimento.
And there you go.
But so like,
a deep cut.
How would you put that on a thing that's one word? Brooklyn Nine-Nine is not one word.
Right.
So would you just put 99? Is that a word? That's not a word.
I don't think that
Brooklyn
counts.
Brooklyn. Yeah, Brooklyn. Well, what you do is you put Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And you hope that somebody else has come up with a better clue than your clue. No. I relied on this a lot. Like,
oh, yeah, you did.
In this game, it's not just... So one of the great things is you don't feel like you're solely responsible for making them guess the word, because you know you have allies. So that's one of the reasons why I felt empowered to give obscure clues, because I was like, okay, the other player... Well, give something that's much more sensible.
Yeah.
And then my clues will sort of fill in a little bit of extra context to make sure they get the exact right.
Like variant. Hike and sky for mountain.
Oh, yeah. So I think that's actually another one of the great things about this is the way that the game encourages you to lean on other players.
Yeah. I felt it especially in this three-player version.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really only have the one other person.
Yeah.
And you're like, I hope Trevor put something related to whatever. Yeah, I just had, for Leaf, I had gold and green.
Yeah, and had that was kind tea of and single, because it was Leaf, not leaves.
Yeah.
And I was, you don't have to be that specific with just one. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
But
that's, and in fact, I think this might, maybe this is my takeaway. Because, like, if you look at code names, in code names, now, if you have a bunch of people on your team, obviously we just had really one person, but if you have a bunch of people on your team, you could lean on them to figure things out, but you do sort of feel responsible to make sure that the team is guessing the right words.
Oh, yeah. You feel like the leader.
Yes.
For sure.
And in just one, you can't really feel like that. Like, you don't feel like it's your sole responsibility to make sure that the person guesses the word. And it's not just that you feel like you can rely on the other players. You feel like you have to rely on them. Mm-hmm. And so you're willing to trust them. And so I think that does such a good job of the thing that co-op games are best at, which is creating a sense of camaraderie and community.
Sure.
That, you know, you're all in this together, striving towards a goal, and you can count on your allies to have your back when, you know, you can't, you can't.
Or that they'll do their best.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that you know, you can't achieve this alone, but together you're going to achieve it. And I feel that Just One does a really good job of that by forcing people to rely on each other, because one clue alone is not going to be enough to get the word in one guess.
And understanding that your role is part of the puzzle, but not the whole puzzle.
Right. You cannot, there's no quarterbacking.
Right.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. In Codenames, you could absolutely quarterback your team.
Yeah.
In Just One, you cannot do that. You have to be a team player. And yeah. I think that's my takeaway.
That's interesting.
That's a good takeaway.
Because, so many guessing games like this, there's one clue giver for the group that's guessing together. Probably 90% of or more of these kind of guessing games, it's like the one clue giver. And then if it's cooperative, people work together. But yeah, like you said, it can be not the most fun experience if.
Yeah, I feel like usually there is a clue giver and then a race to figure out what the answer is first or something like that.
Oh, sure, if it's a competitive game.
Yeah. Right,
yeah.
Right. And so, like, but this is inverted on that, yeah.
It's also an inversion of, I guess, the way that Codenames works, because in Codenames, you give a single word to get people to guess multiple words, whereas in this game, you're giving multiple words to get the person to guess a single word.
They're guessing the prompt word that the Spymaster would come up with.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, yeah. Yeah, think about it like that.
It inverts a lot about, you know, I guess how Codenames works, but maybe also how word I guess should probably think of some other word association games before saying that.
We'll get to them in our bonus episode.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of them out there we can talk about. Yeah.
A fake takeaway. Always make sure to get extra dry erase markers just on stock somewhere. That was the hardest part about Just One, because obviously Charlie really enjoys Just One. This is his copy.
Yeah, we played it a lot.
So. And thus the markers are very low on ink, which made it very frustrating sometimes to write a shadow of a word on a little marquee. Mm-hmm. But
also, I feel like number one, maybe I might be wrong about this, but do black markers just last longer than the colored markers? Because
it might have an easier time being legible for longer.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the other colors might fade more on a white like pink and orange and
yeah, that's
they have less contrast.
So the other thing, I don't understand why all the markers are different colors, because it's you don't need to know
the player colors.
Yeah, you don't need to keep track of who wrote what. They could all just be black.
Just for fun, though. I mean, the game looks better.
It is a colorful, like, well, semi-colorful. There's colors on the box somewhere.
Yeah.
It's mostly white.
It's just more satisfying to have a color, I think.
And to look around and see the different colors of words and things is kind of fun.
I don't know. I guess I like black markers better, but...
Yeah. To each their own.
Yep.
It's funny with a game
rules
like
and rants.
Yeah, our fake podcast name, yep. Rules and Rants. I mean, it's funny with a game like this. It's so simple. It's one of the games I think, man, I wish I had come up with that idea.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, it's hard to poke any holes in it, really. So we have to just talk about markers and the discard rule.
You know my. It's not a big cool takeaway, but I really appreciate that they make full use of the like cards and versatility and like variability, I should say, so that like every card has 5 words on it, and then the person trying to guess the word chooses the number. It's not really agency. You don't really have a choice because you don't know what the words are.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have that moment of like making a decision.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's interesting to me because it's like, it's not a full decision. You're not making a strategic decision, but you're still being given a choice. And I think it engages you just a little bit more than just like drawing a random card like, okay, go. And like, it's just one word on the card and people do it.
Sure.
Like saying, okay, no, I think we should do, and like people are actually listening to you, waiting for you to choose one so they know what to work with. It's a very simple thing, but.
Yeah, I think in an old school game, they would always probably have a die roll.
Yep.
And I can see why it works in this game because you never see the card. It's essentially a die roll random.
Yeah. Right. And like Cranium, I think you'd land on a space and you'd draw the thing to be based on which space you landed on, determined what activity you did or whatever.
I'm actually working on a solution to this exact thing in my other game because we're the publisher. This is a word guessing game that's got like cards with 6 words on them. And we're trying to figure out the best method that would be also maybe just card based as the randomizer. And we've had thought about like, ooh, maybe there's a die roll, but it's the publisher's thought is they don't want it to, if there's a component in it, they want it to relate to the theme, the game. So we're trying to just figure out how to just do it with cards.
With that's easy. Blind choice based randomness. I think Dune does that as well. There's during setup, you have. So in Dune, you have the combat wheels where you can dial a number from 0 to 20. And you just have 2 players each dial a different number or dial any number on the combat wheel. And then you add the numbers together. And that's where the storm starts.
Oh, wow.
Having blind choices is a good way to randomize things.
And obviously there's going to be patterns for people, right? Some people are going to choose specific numbers over others. And I'm sure if you were able to create the statistics for this game, a number would be chosen more than any other number. I'd be fascinated by that. But like, it's still a choice.
Yeah.
And you're still like, you're able to engage with it.
Yeah. And one thing it's a little bit of a tangent, but I've been thinking about it with this game I'm working on, where currently I've given people a choice between 2 different words on these 2 cards that they have. And I almost think it might be better if I don't give them the choice on what word they're trying to clue in. Because the feedback I got was, I saw this whole list of all these words I wanted to try, but I could only pick from 2 of them from the different cards. And it's almost like, giving people a little bit of choice, but not enough that's satisfying. It's maybe better to just not give them the choice at all.
Yeah, is that where the engagement is, or is it somewhere else down the line?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because like just one, you draw a card. You don't choose the card. You don't draw multiple cards and choose one or anything. Like,
And when you're designing these kind of games, maybe I'll make this my takeaway. The fact that you just like can explain this game in under a minute and people will understand it. I think like that's what I really respect in these kind of games, that they cut down all the extraneous rules, like scoring is, oh, we got the card. Yay.
Yep.
You know,
move the point tracker one space.
Yeah.
Wait, point tracker. I don't need a point tracker.
Yeah. Yeah. Just get to the most fun part right away. Is my takeaway from just one.
Yeah. For speedier games, I think it's a really good idea to keep that in mind, that you want to be able to explain it quickly, not have a lot of hedge case rules and stuff like that, because it's not worth it. So like keep that core system really straight and structured and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Did we all do takeaways?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's...
We did it.
Yeah.
Hey, that was just one.
Yeah.
Just one.
Awesome. Well, tune in next time for So Clover.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.